The third case on this morning's call is number 03-2389, Washington Group against Bell, Boyd & Lloyd. Mr. Stahl.
I'd like to begin by reminding the court that we're here as a result of the district court granting a motion to dismiss. The only thing that is in the record is the amended complaint and the briefs that the parties filed. If the court reviews the district court's decision, it will see that it is full of statements in its opinion which might be appropriate in a motion for summary judgment, or might be appropriate had the case been tried to the bench. But the district court plainly stated in its opinion, granting the motion to dismiss, that the plaintiff had failed to produce any evidence.
But what the district court actually says at page A18, if you look at the entire sentence, is he says there is no evidence that the bankruptcy court's decision would have been reversed, and there is no evidence that an Illinois court would have found differently. Now, I don't know what that can mean other than legal argument. And although, of course, at the 12b6 stage, any facts are taken in the light, and indeed any inferences or any potential set of facts are taken in the light favorable to the opposing party, there's no similar rule that if you put a legal assertion in a complaint that a court has to follow such an assertion blindly. The court's entitled to assess as a matter of law what the judgment is, and I think Judge Zagel wasn't using the term evidence in the sentence I just read in a technical sense. He's saying that there's nothing here to show that the bankruptcy court's decision would have been reversed or that an Illinois court would have found differently.
Your Honor, I would suggest that at this point the allegation that it would have been reversed because the record is so completely undeveloped has to be accepted as true, and the correct burden
here. Why do you have to accept that as true, though? It seems to me that's a legal question, and not only that, but the truth is the real issue for you is whether that's a pertinent legal question, because if issue preclusion applies here at all, it really doesn't make any difference if the bankruptcy court was right or wrong. The issue, namely whether this property description was sufficient or not, has been decided, and we simply have to take that as a decided question.
Your Honor, if I may, the theory of the plaintiff is that had Bell, Boyd done its job correctly, that is, had it been diligent and determined early in the case, first of all in the Calumet litigation, that these legal descriptions were so woefully inadequate or were so completely wrong and brought that to the attention of Raytheon, that a Circuit Court of Cook County Mechanics lien judge would have decided the case differently.
But you
and
have no, I mean, we don't have any concrete proof of that. I mean, at some point we can't just wildly speculate about what a court would have done.
We're not asking the court to speculate. What we're asking for is that the plaintiff be given the opportunity, as all plaintiffs do in legal malpractice cases, to present the occurrence and expert testimony that would permit either the finder of fact, if it's a fact question, or the court sitting in the malpractice case, if it's a pure legal question, to decide those issues on a completely developed record.
But why didn't you make any legal argument about some change in law between 97 and 2000 that would have made a 1997 judicial adjudication of this issue different from a 2000 judicial adjudication?
Your Honor, we look at it in the other way, that what the court should do and what the plaintiff is entitled to have is the conduct of Bell Boyd assessed and the developments in the case assessed as they would have happened.
Well, and what reason is there to think that a 1997 adjudication would have been different from the 2000. This is a legal question. Some propositions of law don't change over time.
It's not a matter so much of the passage of time, but of the court and the expertise of the court applying the law and the development of the record that would have taken place in the Circuit Court of Cook County, Your Honor.
Could I ask you why you didn't file this case in the Circuit Court of Cook County? It would have not been removable because you had tons of in-state defendants.
The client's feeling was that it preferred to be in the federal.
Even though you now want it to certify. There's a real dissonance here.
Yes. There were... there are issues affecting the client's decision that it prefers to be in the federal district court, even though there would be questions of Illinois law. But on the issue of issue preclusion, if I could turn to that, the questions of standard of care that would have been developed in the malpractice case and the questions of causation were not in front of the bankruptcy court. No lawyer representing the defendant in this case would have taken the position that it complied with the standard of care to just copy the subcontractor liens and include them in the subsequent lien, or to do no investigation and instead of preparing a lien that described the plant, prepared a lien that described a very small part of the plant, indeed on which no work was done at all. So I would submit that issue preclusion really has nothing to do with it. We have the fortuity here that in the bankruptcy court, because of the peculiar way in which this came up, Raytheon was in a position of being forced to make an argument that the legal descriptions were okay, but had Bell Boyd done its job correctly, Raytheon would have been attacking the liens and showing that only a very small part of the lien affected property for the subcontractor case, and it would have had its own lien that would have been vis-a-vis the owner, who became treated like a third party because of the bankruptcy, a lien that perfectly described its legal position and legal description, and we've alleged that it's likely that there would have been no adversary case. The other point of issue preclusion that's raised is the so-called three-year rule. Well, if you just look at the statute, there's nothing in the statute that suggests the outcome or the holding of the bankruptcy court. The statute does not say that the work has to be completed within 3 years. So at this stage, we would submit that the record was completely undeveloped and Bell Boyd was the beneficiary of this bankruptcy court decision 3 years later, which we have alleged never would have happened had it done its job correctly. And this is not just speculation. This is based on the fact that in the passage of time, Bell Boyd had over 18 months to perform properly and did not do it.
But you don't allege anything about that. Your argument has focused on the accuracy of property description, number one, and number two, on the three-year rule and the failure of Bell Boyd to give you notice that there was such a rule, if indeed there was, so that you could go out if you wanted to and try to get an extension under the contract or various other things. I didn't see you making any argument that focused on what that 18-month passage of time meant.
We have alluded to it in both below and we made an argument.
A good word to use, well, I mean, it's sort of out there.
We argued that but for the malpractice, the case would have been, the Calumet case would have been decided favorably.
Focus on the 18 months. That would be true even if there was a perfect property description 18 months later. I'm saying there's nothing that zeroes in on 18 months as far as...
And, Your Honor, with respect, I believe that's the problem with treating a 12B6 motion essentially as a summary judgment motion, because we are required by the rules to put the other side on notice and to plead enough so that everybody understands what the case is, unlike the state court where
we must plead
pleading facts. Yes, but we were not required to plead facts, and indeed the way this came up before Judge Zagel was, Judge Zagel told us to amend if we wanted to before he decided, not in response to the decision if that became important. So again, we could have supplied additional facts if we had had the opportunity to do so, but we were there on a notice pleading and motion to dismiss, and we tried to put enough in so that everything would be understood, but we weren't required at this stage to plead additional specific facts. But the defendant had the obligation to show there was no set of circumstances under which Raytheon could prevail. And I will reserve the balance of my time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stahl. We'll hear now from Mr. Ford.
Kevin Ford on behalf of Bell, Boyd & Lloyd. First of all, review is de novo, and the complaint, amended complaint, is before the court. The court will see from reviewing that complaint that there are two critical issues that were decided by the Delaware court that are essential to the allegations in that complaint: the property description and the three-year rule. Both of those issues were unquestionably decided by the Delaware court. Both were essential to its ruling, and Raytheon can make no argument that they did not get a fair hearing in that court.
Well, with respect to the plan description issue, Mr. Ford, could it not be characterized, couldn't the position of Raytheon in the Delaware bankruptcy court characterized as a simple attempt to bail themselves out of a situation after, because they were the victim of malpractice?
Judge Ripple, they did a beautiful job in the Delaware court explaining how and why the Illinois law was complied with by the description of that property. It's one of the things about collateral, one of the policies behind collateral estoppel is that the courts discourage parties from these attacks on a court decision that they helped bring about, that there's a certain unseemly aspect of to that. And it's present in this case. The attack on the Delaware court for deciding that case, calling it an aberration, is offensive to me, and it should be offensive to the court. There they had affidavits about the property description, about what was entailed within the property, that are all referred to in the court's decision. Where the court got that information is from Raytheon, and they explained that Illinois law was generous. They explained that the idea is to put somebody on notice. That entire site was completely fenced in, including the parcel that is included. It was an integral part of the construction site. And in this court, they say, why, that dumb judge in Delaware relied on an 1896 case, and in Delaware, their briefs called it the seminal case on point. And that's where the Delaware court picked that up and used that word. In this court, they say that judge in Delaware should have known that there was 1986 authority that discredits the old 1896 case. Yet, in Delaware, they told the Delaware court that 1986 case is totally consistent with the 1896 case. The cases I'm talking about are Springer and Steinberg that are discussed in the briefs. And they show brilliantly how those cases are perfectly consistent. And in fact, if you read Steinberg, the 1986 case, you'll see that it refers to Springer and, in fact, relies on Springer. So this kind of duplicitous presentation in two different courts is an excellent illustration of why collateral estoppel should be applied in this case. That's a long-winded way to answer your question, but the property description in the Delaware court, arguments made that the property description in the Delaware that were made in the Delaware court about the property description clearly demonstrate that description was more than adequate under Illinois law. And the other issue, the three-year rule, the Delaware court considered all of their arguments and determined that the three-year rule absolutely applies under Illinois law. You can disagree with that decision. They disagree with that decision. They're bound by it. And as a matter of fact, if you read I know you've read the decision, and to say that you would get a better decision, or at least a more conscientious, thought-out decision from a court in the mechanics lien, hearing mechanics lien in the Circuit Court of Cook County, it simply isn't a credible presentation. Unless the court has any questions, the two central issues, property description, three-year rule, were unquestionably decided by the Delaware court. You cannot go forward on that complaint in face of those two determinations, and Judge Zagel was absolutely right in dismissing the complaint, but you have the complaint before you, and you have the Delaware decision, and it's a de novo review. And so I would ask that you affirm the decision of the district court.
Thank you, Mr. Ford. We'll make that a 4 minute, Mr. Stahl.
If Bell Boyd does its job correctly, there is no bankruptcy court decision. Raytheon was in an extremely defensive position and had only the option of either making the best argument that it could or defaulting. Our argument is that in the Circuit Court of Cook County in the Mechanics Lien Division, it would have come out differently, and that's where Raytheon would have been but for the malpractice of Bell Boyd. With respect to the three-year rule, there's nothing in the bankruptcy court's decision that suggests it's a correct application of the law. It is to the contrary, because when you start out reading the face of the statute, it doesn't say the work has to be completed within 3 years. What Bell Boyd is asking the courts to do is relieve them of the consequences of their malpractice, because 3 years later, in a different court that's not an expert in this area of the law, there was a decision. And we're not being disrespectful of
it. Bankruptcy courts decide liens all the time, and the Delaware Bankruptcy Court decides cases from all over the country, as I know you're aware.
That's correct, Your Honor.
I'm a little reluctant to say that they were newcomers to these kinds of issues.
Well, with respect to these particular issues, they were somewhat unique, especially with respect to this three-year rule, and there is no decision before or after that suggests its application. I would suggest that the property description case was not essential, or the ruling was not essential to the bankruptcy court decision, and I would just go back and reiterate the point that no competent lawyer would have performed the way Bell Boyd did and then said, well, it's going to be okay, client, because someday a court will say it's good enough. And the Steinberg case we did cite throughout that shows that.
Although that deals with rights of third parties, if I remember.
We are in a third-party situation, Your Honor, because
Raytheon was a third party to this transaction?
No. Acme was treated as a third party rather than an owner because of the bankruptcy petition, so that the debtor in possession, instead of being treated like an owner, is treated like a third party. If it were Acme v. Raytheon without the bankruptcy petition, Acme would be the owner, but the debtor in possession is treated differently under the bankruptcy code. Again, we've alleged that but for the malpractice, we wouldn't have been in bankruptcy court. All of this would have been decided before Raytheon ever went into bankruptcy. And I thank the court for its attention.
Court thanks both Mr. Stahl and Mr. Ford, and the case will be taken under advisement.